Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You remember how on Sunday we talked about that constant mingling of joy with sorrow in the Christian life. The readings this evening pick up that theme, and each one of them offers a reason to have joy in the midst of sorrow. Beginning with the prophet Jeremiah, who wrote the book of Lamentations. Where did the prophet Jeremiah find joy in the midst of his great sorrow, in the midst of his lamentations over the city, the lost city of Jerusalem, over its impenitence and impending destruction, over the exile of God's people, over his own mistreatment at the hands of the people of Israel? He remembers the Lord's mercy and compassion. He remembers that they do not fail, even though everyone around us should fail. Even though friends turn out to be enemies and the religious leaders turn out to be scoundrels, as Jeremiah experienced. As for the mercy and compassion of God, he says they are new every morning. His mercy does not cease. His compassion always returns because he is faithful. He doesn't take pleasure in our sorrow, just as the Father didn't take pleasure in Jesus' sorrow. And so, what's more, Jeremiah says that the Lord is my portion, or your portion, O my soul. If that's true, if the Lord is your portion, if he is the thing that you seek, the thing that you want to possess more than anything, the one that you live for, then no matter who disappoints you on earth, no matter what fails you here, you can never truly be disappointed, because you can always hope in God, because he won't leave you or abandon you. He is good to those who wait for him, Jeremiah says. Waiting is hard, but it's a waiting with hope. It's not a waiting to see if God will have mercy on you or not. It's a sure knowledge that he will, and will show his mercy in due time. And so we wait. Jeremiah says, hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You don't have to figure everything out. You don't have to solve the unsolvable problems of the world. You don't have to have an answer for everything. Wait quietly for the Lord's salvation. That's a dependable source of joy in times of sorrow. Where else do Christians find joy in times of sorrow? The writer to the Hebrews tells us, we have a great high priest and mediator who suffered, who died, who rose again, who has ascended into the heavens, and now stands before God at his right hand as our mediator and our intercessor. And remember, he is there as one who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, because he was tempted in every way just as we are, and yet was without sin. And so the writer to the Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not only do we have a great high priest at the Lord's right hand, but we have access to him. Let us come before him boldly, it says. That means that we can pray to the Lord Jesus, our high priest, as one who also understands our weaknesses, who understands what it is to be tempted to sin, tempted to despair, tempted to give up. He understands, and therefore he is able to help and willing to show us mercy and grant us his favor and help in every time of need. Where else do Christians find joy in times of sorrow? That we learn from the Lord Jesus himself as he gathers together with his disciples on the most sorrowful night of his life and theirs, gathered in the upper room, waiting to go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, What did Jesus give his disciples to hold on to in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of the troubles of this world? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And what is the way to those heavenly mansions that Jesus is now preparing? What is the path? I am the way, he says, and the truth, and the life. You know Jesus, and therefore you know the Father. You know Jesus, and therefore you know the way to the Father, the only way to God. You know that you stand righteous before God by faith alone, in Christ alone, and in no other way. That's the truth. And you have come to him for life. He's the only source of it. In fact, he is the life. There is no eternal life apart from him. And he's given himself to you freely, to have him as your Lord, to have him as your Savior, to have him as the one who will walk all the way through this life with you, even through the valley of the shadow of death, until he comes back for you as he promises to do, to bring you to those mansions he's preparing for you now. Is that enough to get rid of all the sorrow of this life? Well, of course not. But it's enough to get you through it. And it's enough to give you something to rejoice over in the meantime. May God the Holy Spirit continue to work that fruit in you called joy. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.